This is Towers, and you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal.
We're listening to CJLO News.
Êtes-vous prêts à faire du bruit pour la mairesse de Montréal, Soraya Ferrada-Martinez?
Montreal's municipal election results are in. Soraya Martinez-Ferrada of Ensemble Montréal has been elected as the city's next mayor. At the time of this report, polls show Martinez-Ferrada won with 43% of the vote, defeating Projet Montréal's Luc Rabouin with an 8-point lead. Rabouin is now stepping down as party leader for Projet. Benoit Langevin served as the spokesperson for Martinez-Ferrada's campaign and as a city councillor from the district of Bois de l'Est. Here he is at Ensemble's election gathering on Sunday night.
Pragmatism, less ideology, more concrete, adapted to your milieu, adapted to your borough. Respect the fact that every borough is different, not arrive with a one-size-fits-all. That's what Ensemble Montréal is all about.
Ensemble won with a mandate to speed up private housing developments, partially using AI to expedite the permit process. They want to commit to 20% social and affordable housing through regulations and fines. They have promised to freeze all current bike lane construction and audit cycling infrastructure. They have promised to increase police spending, saying they want to double the number of police and social worker teams. They also want to see an increase in security generally in the city, including more cameras in public spaces. Reports show only 36% of eligible voters cast ballots in this election. Ferrada won with roughly 170,000 votes. That's about 14.8% of the voting population. With files from Zach Dutra and Deidre Denovich, I'm Adam Innes.
Me and Mrs. Jones, we got a thing going on.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Hello, hello, hello. We back.
We back. And welcome to Death of the Mid-Range. We're so happy to be back. Apologies for last week. We were both feeling a little under the weather, and we'd rather not sniffle on the microphone the entire time.
We sniffle enough as it is outside of winter season. If we start doing it every episode, y'all gonna leave us for sure.
Exactly.
Again, forgot to introduce ourselves.
Oh, right. Yes. My name is Maximilian Calinescu.
And I'm Libasico Elagello, and we are so beyond excited. As you can see, it's cold outside.
It's real cold. It's so cold that, you know, we took three modes of public transportation to get here.
Determination to get here this morning.
And we got on the bus. It took 20 minutes to get a kilometer. So we hopped on the metro. Mm-hmm. Then we got off, tried to take another bus. The cops blocked off, seven blocks? A million blocks, actually.
Hell yeah.
All of Montreal was closed. We used snowshoes, ice picks.
Yeah, as one does.
We found a couple of stray dogs. We put them. We slayed ourselves here.
Nothing too crazy.
Light work.
It's what we call a Kobe morning. Either you want it or you don't. So people, this is telling for the week we are all about to have. Right. This is death of the mid range right here.
This is death.
We are locking in. No, but so happy.
You live
to be
or
back.
Die by the mid range. Yeah, and we live and die by it.
We really do live and die. But on today's show, we have so much to talk about.
We have a lot to catch up on. Yeah. And, we missed the second week of the NBA season. Well, we watched it. We just didn't talk about it with you guys. But it's been an eventful first half.
The NBA is often eventful, I feel like, lately. It's
just unexpected storylines. I mean,
the most unexpected of them all, literally, like, the Sixers.
Yeah.
What was it, a month ago we were on here?
Oh, we were hating.
I raised my hand. I didn't believe.
I didn't believe, but I'm also a Raptors fan. I'm inherently biased to Joel Embiid's antics. I like Joel Embiid as a player.
Love Joel.
He just makes me so upset all the time. like all the time, especially because I drafted him in fantasy last year and he played 19 games and again, sold
again
my
with
season.
The fantasy addiction. I'm gonna call the cops on you one day, you know.
Hey man, at least I'm not Chauncey Billis, you know.
Well, we got Blazers fans in the studio today. Gonna shout them out right quick. No, but yeah, obviously one of the most eventful storylines has been the Sixers, and we did want to start with that. Talking about Joel Embiid, if we had made a show last week, I think the way we would have talked about him would have been much different than this week.
Absolutely.
Because he's been ramping up
absolutely
pretty nicely.
Oh, I mean, he's Joel Embiid. The only thing that really hurts him is his body. And that's what is so upsetting as a basketball fan who wants to watch good basketball.
Yeah.
When we saw the preseason highlights where he didn't want to jump, I mean, my God, right? Like, that makes everyone upset when you look at it.
Even that first game against I think the Celtics, you know, that game where VJ Edgecombe just went nuclear.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It looked like he didn't want to play, and then going to press conference and being like, well, if you only play me, you know, 5 minutes there, 5 minutes there, I'm not going to give my best. And, you know, but I think I've seen over the last week, it's been 26 to 28 minutes.
I think that's good for the future of Joel Embiid. I mean, we're kind of looking at him from this Patrick Ewing perspective where he was so dominant, and then we are all a little scared. However, I think it's important to look at some of the bright spots of the 76ers and some of my personal doubts.
Yeah.
VJ Edgecombe. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I really wanted to put him rookie of the year.
You didn't, though.
First off, let me bandwagon. Let me sound smarter than I actually am. Okay? Okay? Don't tell me what to do.
My fault. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah. Anyways, I wanted to put them first because I was hooked off of two preseason games. His game just looks so polished.
It does.
I mean, so polished. I don't think anybody was expecting him to look so comfortable so quickly. You said he was playing. He feels like he's playing 42 minutes a game.
He's averaging, I think, 39.5. And to your point, he wasn't a scorer in college.
No.
And he had this like kind of cocky quote in college where he's like, I can't score when there's two bigs in the paint. Because you know how college ball, they play, you know, two in, three out.
Yeah.
And so it's really congested. And he said that. And people are like, man, whatever. Gets to the NBA. Drops 30 points on the champions night. From a couple of years ago. And then really talk that talk. And just the last point about Embiid is him coming back, right, hasn't hindered their production. I'm talking about the backcourt, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
He has a lesser role. But I think if they can all kind of find their fit with VJ Edgecombe, with Tyrese Maxey.
I mean, if we were talking last week, we would have been talking about how Tyrese Maxey was the MVP favorite.
Yeah.
Well, Alexander. But still, like, what's so wild about that is that Tyrese has stepped up in such a big way.
Mm-hmm.
Filled this kind of Joel Embiid hole that all of us
as he's
felt.
Been doing, by the way. Like, he's been stepping up.
Yeah.
Like, through thick and thin, George going down, Embiid being up and down ever since he's been
Paul
drafted.
George is on this team. Isn't that so funny?
Bro.
Isn't that so funny?
Bro, it's insanely funny. He be doing the same thing as us. Yeah, more so lately. He been in the chair. Okay, P. I see. No, but, you know, and a lot of people have talked about that double timeline, right?
Yeah.
Having Paul George and Embiid on these really big contracts and having this youth movement with Maxey, Edgecombe, McCain, who literally just came back.
Yeah.
And how that double timeline could be problematic. But if Embiid starts to help these youngsters and maybe, you know, takes on a lesser role and let's Maxey maybe cook a little bit, then this could be, you know, a special group.
And I think I want to say that when we talk about double timelines, I know we gave every Warrior fan PTSD.
PTSD.
Because the double timeline did not work. And then they created the unction of all unctions.
Yeah.
And they've been playing great, granted.
Well, it's like, because the way we were talking about it 2 weeks ago was like, the Warriors are going to win a championship.
Yeah, but they slowed down.
Their play has slowed down, which is normal. Overreactions are a normal occurrence in first week of
NBA. We're both like Raptors isn't a small market, but we're both like fans of teams that haven't had a history of success. So
what?
We will.
The Wizards haven't had a history of success?
Yeah.
My Wizards? Are you crazy right now?
Yeah, I remember Wes Unseld, actually. I remember
Bro,
him.
I was, you know.
Yeah.
I almost said we were too good to tank. I didn't say it, though, because I was like, it's going to come to bite me in the butt. I'm so glad I didn't say that. Anyways, we're on the Sixers side.
What I wanted to say with this tangent is that we're watching it is early, but we're watching a somewhat of a successful two timelines thing happening right now.
I agree, yeah.
The young talent looks great.
Quentin Grimes, too.
Quentin Grimes, if I can be cynical for a minute.
Yes.
This is what we were talking about this morning, is that.
We were.
Four guards is a lot, especially four guards who all want to start. Jared McCain, bless his heart, he was out for a long time. making TikToks. And he, no hate. He was on the grind. Okay. But he was out for a long time. Yeah. He came back. I don't think he scored a bucket yet.
He hasn't.
In 20 minutes between two games of play, something around there.
He had like 15 minutes, then a DNP, then 9 minutes.
Yeah, 8 or 9 minutes. There you go. And Jared McCain deserves to be a starter when he's healthy. Like, he's ramping back up. He went from being a rookie to a second-year player. Like, he will deserve those minutes. He's showed us he's deserved those minutes. Quentin Grimes has dropped 40 multiple times as a starter. He wants those minutes, whether he deserves them or not. Tyrese Maxey, MVP contention, absolutely deserves and has proved he's deserved to be a starter. And Vijay Edgecombe, 100% with what's going on right now, as a Sixers fan and as a franchise, you can't be happier with his production.
Yeah.
If you stick him on the bench and you scare him or shock him, you don't want that. So now you have four guards that all want to be starters. And what do you do in this situation?
But that's where we disagreed this morning, because for me, that's not a problem, right? Mm. Yes, Jared McCain is really good and whatnot, but he's also a rookie who played, what, a handful of games, like 10, 20 games? Yes, he had some good performances, but those were really broken down teams where he just had the ball in his hands. Now he comes back. He has no expectations. He's not expecting to start. That would be insane of a dude who just got in the NBA and barely even played 20 games, right? Quinn Grimes has been a bench player for better part of his career. He's averaging like 17 points. Really back in the talk he had this summer about, you know, getting that big contract.
20 mil a year.
The only certified starter in that group of four is Tyrese Maxey. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, the people that are going to rotate around him can be any of the three left. Vijay Edgecombe is also a rookie. He doesn't have to start all the time. I think it's also about finding your role. That's how the OKC Thunder do it, right? You take what the champions are doing and you try to recreate it. You got to have a fluid, like, rotation. You might start one day. You might get on the bench. And it's like that. I don't think these dudes are going to demand to start. And if they do, then get off the team. That's literally how professional sports should be, right?
Bars.
I mean, for me, that's how it should be. That's bars. How it should be. And I think these dudes aren't going to demand a role or demand a starting spot. And having too much talent is better than having no talent. Drop the mic on there, by the way. Y'all didn't see that?
Wow.
Y'all didn't see that?
Wow.
Come on.
I'm speechless because that was you said that more perfectly than I ever could have imagined.
Thank you, baby.
No, you're right. I think it's just important to, I mean, four guards, it's a little scary, but I think you make a great counterpoint.
I wish we had four guards like this. I'm sorry, not to bring it back to the Wizards, but if we had that guard, if we had those guards on my team, I would be so happy, bro. I'm sorry, it's been a hard week to be a Wizards fan, bro.
It has.
We haven't won in so long.
Hey, man, the Raptor, Brandon Ingram threw a water bottle at a water boy, bro.
He didn't even apologize. That was insane. I know.
And then it hit Scotty, and Scotty looked at him and... Listen, I get he's mad, but the defense of the Raptors has been abysmal. But
Sixers.
Sorry, we're like it's like the Goblin mask, like the Green Goblin. It's like talk about the Raptors for 48 minutes. Talk about them. Talk. Go, you coward. No, but I think the Sixers are going to be a very surprising bright spot this season. Like, I had them at. I might have had them at nine. I've had them in the play-in.
You had them at nine, and I had them missing the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think both of us had our reasonable doubts, but both of us, when we talked about this, we said they have the ability to either be like the most death of the mid-range. No, they have the most ability to be either really terrible or really great.
Yeah.
Very highs, very lows.
For sure.
The ceiling, there you go. The ceiling was very...
And I think the last thing I'll say before we go to add is just that also center rotation behind Embiid has been much, much, much better this year.
Yeah.
With Adam Bona really, really coming into his own.
Oh, yeah.
And not... And
Drummond playing productive minutes too.
No, yeah, and I like having that three kind of center kind of rotation with Drummond coming in maybe for a little bit of rebounding if you need some more defense, interior positioning inside. Adam Bona comes in, right? They even give Jabari Walker... Even though he's more of a forward, not really a center.
Yeah.
They played him at the small ball five. And obviously, you know Nick Nurse better than anybody. And
yes.
We're trying
better
to
than anybody? Yeah, my name is actually Fred Van Vliet. Yes. I know Nick Nurse better than anybody.
You guys have a great relationship, I know. But yeah. I really liked how they've managed. Even if Embiid hasn't liked it, I think it's been really smart how they've brought him along.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that The Sixers almost beat the Cleveland Cavaliers without Joel Embiid and I think Maxey was playing, but VJ had a bad game and they lost by 6 points or something like that.
Oh, they're right there.
And really? It, exactly. They're right there. And I think that's really impressive. I think next week we will definitely talk about the Cavaliers. So if Cavaliers fans are listening, before we end off and go to ad break, retro jerseys.
Mm. You texted
Sixers,
me. You texted me.
Cavaliers. Mm. Fantastic. Delicious. I mean, all the Cavs have so much aura in that arena.
Yeah.
Like what they're missing is like that early 2000s big beer bottle underneath of the rim.
All they right, had this all right, OG. All right, OG.
You know me, bro.
It's 9 a.m., bro. You're already feeding for that.
Let's go to ad.
All right. Don't go anywhere.
Ultimate Comic Haven at Crossover Comics. Unleash your inner geek with the best selection of graphic novels, manga, games like Pokemon and Magic, in-store events, merch, and more. Our knowledgeable and friendly staff have got your back with awesome recommendations for your next read. Score big with a free account. Enjoy comic subscriptions and membership discounts. Be in on the action at 3560 Notre Dame West in St. Henry, right near Metro Lionel Blue. Crossover Comics, sharing your passions since 2012.
Join us every Tuesday night at midnight on CJLO for Floydian Slip. It's an hour of music by Pink Floyd. Hey, it's Craig Bailey, your host for an hour from the dark side of the moon. An hour of Pink Floyd, Floydian Slip, every Tuesday night at midnight, right here on 1690 AM CJLO. Learn more online at floydianslip.com.
Welcome back to CJLO 1690 AM Montreal.
Mm.
Did you hear that? This is my radio voice.
That's a really deep voice, actually. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what we're gonna talk now. You should just keep that voice forever, bro.
Welcome back.
Yeah. Nope. That didn't sound right. All right. Now that we're done with the Sixers, we wanted to get into some, you know, NBA gossip. As I like to call it.
Yeah, gossip. Did you just twirl your nails
really,
at me?
And I still got nail polish on, so, you know.
We're going to talk about gossip today.
Ja Morant.
I think...
Come on, Ja
is so real. How many times have we sat here, hypothetically? Hypothetically, we've had this show for 5 years.
Yeah.
How many times have we sat here and talked about Ja Morant's ups and downs and antics?
Do you just want to give the context first? About what happened?
Ja Morant, after a game where he was not played very much in crunch time, went to the media. The media asked, why were you not played in crunch time? What was the fault for not winning? He said, I don't know. Asked the coaching staff. Was very dismissive to reporters, bringing a very negative energy to the team. For a team that's already clearly struggling with losing Desmond Bane, losing key parts of their offense, having coaching struggles, as the leader of the team, what you shouldn't do is complain to your new coaching staff after you already got the old coaching staff fired because you did not run enough pick and rolls, which Ja Morant likes.
He also got suspended by his own team for responding to his coach in a tone that was deemed inappropriate.
It was detrimental to basketball operations, is what I believe.
Which in corporate world means I don't know what he did to Tom Lissolo, bro. But I'm even scared to sit here and talk. But like, it's
they
really,
coming for you, bro.
No, but it's really disappointing with Ja Morant because, as you said, literally last year he was a big key in getting, you know, his coach fired for the way he was running the offense. You know, kind of moving away from that ball screen heavy offense, more of a motion.
Yeah, it was very much like, not to say it was Spurs basketball, but it was team basketball. Yeah. It was a lot more flow and it was a lot more creativity. And it was the coaching staff and the organization going, hey, can we play without Ja Morant and be efficient?
They had to do it because he was injured the year prior. And then Jaren Jackson Jr. had that big, really, really big like glow up. Yeah. And when he comes back, Ja can't just be like, all right,
yeah,
give me
team.
The keys back.
Let's go. But then he did. And then we watched them struggle again. I mean, what's so frustrating about this is that all of us want and yearned for Ja Morant to be that next face of the league. He got the AI comps. Everyone was so excited. He's got highlight dunks. He's got personality, maybe too much personality at times, as we've seen on Instagram live streams. But what I'm saying is that all of us are frustrated
100%.
Because we want Ja Morant to be this player that we can buy the shoes from, we can buy jerseys from, and we're just excited to be around him and talking about Ja Morant. And time again, he makes us disappointed with either the comments he makes, his off-the-court performance. And not to say that, like, what I'm trying to say is that this is just disappointing from a leader perspective.
Mm.
If you're an NBA basketball player, like, do what you want, like, corporate whatever, but you're supposed to be the leader of this team, right? You're supposed to be demonstrating to the young guys who you now have a couple great rookies.
Cedric Coward. Yeah.
Amazing.
Amazing rookie.
Right? You have, is it Jalen Wells, right? You have all these, second-year player, but you have all these guys that you're supposed to be mentoring, right? If I came on this show today, not saying that I'm mentoring you, but disappointed, sad, dismissive, the vibes would be terrible.
Terrible.
If you are the leader and supposedly the best player on the team and you bring everyone down because you say, I don't know, ask the coaching staff. After we know they fired the previous coach because you didn't like him because you are the star player. That's what's disappointing.
Yeah.
I want to see Ja Morant dunk. I want to see him have crazy highlights. I saw it last night. He had a crazy highlight. And I wanted to be really excited, but in the back of my brain, I went, yeah, well, with the Ja Morant situation. And my question to you, unless you want to respond to what I'm saying, is that if you are the Memphis Grizzlies, do you trade Ja Morant?
I'll get to that in a quick second. But the last thing I wanted to say is I totally agree about everything you just said. And it's also his press conference after the suspension where he was like probably gave Miami Heat fans a lot of PTSD about getting his joy back in basketball. He was like, nah. And it's disappointing because also in that game before he got called out by the coaching staff, I went back and rewatched the possessions. And you know when you're like, when you play pickup and you're like so sick of your team, she's like, all right, ball hawk, just go. I'm going to give you the ball. I'm just going to go to the corner. I'm not going to move. That's exactly what he did.
Yeah.
He'd get the ball up. He'd just stand in the corner, whatever.
Yeah.
Same thing that Butler did before getting traded.
Yeah. He shot a bunch of threes. Butler was shooting one-legged three-pointers and dyeing his hair a new color every game.
He didn't care anymore. And his paint touches have gone down every single year after every single injury, which has been a bit frightening. And the last thing I got to say is that, yeah, I mean, I think it's time for the divorce.
Damn, get the papers filed?
I think
lawyers on?
When you said these things and you have this cold between you and the coaching staff. Also, the Grizzlies have a good collective outside of Ja Morant. Let's not forget that.
Absolutely.
Sometimes we let controversies, just like the Heat, sometimes we let controversies about a star player overhaul the performances of other players inside that system.
Absolutely.
JJJ has not had a great season. But you know that if there was maybe more space for him to operate, it would be better.
Also, someone to set him up. He's
for sure.
What we don't understand, or not what we forget about JJJ, is he's a fantastic three-point shooter. And when he's chucking shots, he's not a fantastic three-point shooter. However, if we can set him up in plays, run pick and pops, right? Ja Morant runs a lot of ball screens, but he doesn't really want to pass it all the time.
But also Zach Edey being out probably doesn't help with
the spacing.
If you want to have heavy pick and roll, JJJ isn't the best screen setter.
No.
But that big old body of Zach Edey setting you picks can really get you going.
Yep.
Right? But also don't forget about Santi Aldama, who signed that really team-friendly contract and has been just a super efficient forward.
Mm-hmm.
You got Cedric Coward who's coming in, who had a game where he went 7-for-7 from three.
Yep.
Jalen Wells is coming in. So, I mean...
Brandon Clark's still injured, but...
Yeah, but you can trade him.
Yes.
You can trade him, right? It's gotten to a point where I think the fan base has really let go of that Ja Morant ideal, and now you can probably ship him off to somewhere. I saw somebody talk about the Raptors.
Which would be good if we were better shooters.
100%.
I think that makes a lot of sense. But then it's like, do you want to trade R.J. Barrett for Ja Morant, which
no.
I don't think the Memphis Grizzlies want because they need a shooter, if anything, to help with this team because Ja Morant is scared to go in the paint and is an inefficient shooter. He's not scared to go in the paint, but he doesn't want to get injured.
I think that's what it is.
And
just like Derrick Rose, like in his in his injury years,
and Derrick Rose is not a fantastic shooter, great mid range shooter, but
for sure. I mean, later the later it got in his career, the better shooter he became.
Yes,
but it's also because he had to, Because if you're going to warrant not going into the paint, you better develop a jump shot or else you're going to be unplayable.
No, absolutely. And I think if you're the Memphis Grizzlies right now, you want a pass-first good shooter as your point guard.
Yeah.
If you were to trade Ja Morant. Who knows, right? Like,
we'll see.
I think I was watching the Deep Three, and what they were talking about is they agreed with the trading of Ja Morant. However, they said, wait till, like, you know, we start getting closer to the deadline. If you start pushing this right now, his value obviously is not where it is. And also maybe CNBA. In a month, maybe he will have found his joy back. And winning also helps that, right?
Winning cures everything.
Yeah.
Should we move on to something more positive?
Yeah, perhaps? I think that, speaking of winning, the Bucks
have been doing a whole lot of that,
for sure. What's been really...
My MVP, by the way,
is Giannis.
I caught it.
Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think you would have a hard time telling someone that he is not the best player in the world.
God, he looks good.
Currently. And I mean, Jokic has not... I think he's not had a triple-double once, and I still am, like, in awe of Giannis. Mm. I mean, his sheer ability to, like, LeBron James 2008 put the team on his back and just go insane is remarkable. Makes for great NBA basketball to watch,
amazing.
Right? Because he is so entertaining, because he is a man who has clearly honed his craft and is happy about honing his craft.
And his body. I mean, not that was insane. Sorry. I'm just saying the way he came into the league and what he looks like right now, it's impressive to be able to put on that much weight, that much muscle, and still be as nimble and, you know, quick as he's ever been.
Oh, and he looks so fantastic, and
he's so pretty, and he's so beautiful.
Yeah,
he's
very pretty. And his body.
You know, whatever.
What's really fun about Giannis Antetokounmpo is that he now has, well, he had Damian Lillard, but Damian Lillard was better not playing with Giannis than he was playing with Giannis. Ryan Rollins.
Ex-Wizard, by the way. Sorry, I just got to plug that. Ex-Washington Wizard.
I remember because I texted you and I said, Libas, you have to watch this game right now.
That was insane.
You have to watch this game right now. And Ryan Rollins, they were talking about his career high, which happened the game before. I think it was like 27 or 25 or something. I think Ryan Rollins dropped close to 30 and hit the game winner, right? Mm. Or the dagger.
The dagger!
But he looks so impressive. Smooth, silky, silky smooth. He's reminding me of the new guy on the Warriors. He has the cross tattoos on his arm. He has his hair up in a...
Does he have dreads?
Yes.
Will Richard?
Is he the new guy? He's wearing like number 4.
Moses Moody wears number 4.
Who am I talking about? It's like
who
the rookie.
Is you talking about?
It's like the rookie. We were both
Will Richard. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
He reminds you of Will Richard.
Well, both of them have like the smooth game as young guys. Like both of them bring so much energy to this team.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is that confidence. Mm-hmm. The confidence in both these young men who happen to be older than me are like through the roof. And because we're looking at why I'm comparing both of these players is that we're looking at both these players and going, who? And then being like, oh, I know who you are now. Mm-hmm. Right? Because the confidence is so high and they clearly make such an impact on the games, right? On winning, on the team's chemistry. And it's really exciting. We were both low. Now that I remember, I had the Bucks at 7. Right? And it looks like...
We both had the Bucks at 7.
Yeah, and I think the Bucks could be upwards to a 3 seed.
But remember when we talked about when did we talk about the Bucks? We talked about the Bucks, I think,
a while ago. Yeah,
like disappointing teams or something.
Yes.
And we sat here for like 10 to 20 minutes and we talked about how the Bucks offseason was weird.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Buying out that huge Dame contract was like unheard of before.
Yep.
And bringing on Miles Turner was just weird. And was the shooting, there was shooting percentages from certain players that were like not really proven shooters. And now that has weirdly translated.
Yeah.
I looked it up this week. They have 6 players shooting 40% or more from 3.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
Ryan Rollins wasn't even playing that much. He wasn't even in the rotation, by the way.
Yep.
Before Kevin Porter Jr. got injured.
Yep.
Because it was Kevin Porter Jr., then Cole Anthony.
Mm.
And Ryan Williams was a third string guard.
Oy.
And now he's starting, playing so well. And it's exactly what we predicted before the season.
Yes.
This Giannis heavy ball and then him just kicking out. Just kicking out. Just that ball swinging. And that, like, Brook Lopez 2.0. Younger and maybe much better defender.
Agile. Yeah.
Miles Turner.
Not to say that Miles Turner is exactly agile, but I mean, he's not.
He's definitely more agile than that fridge Brook Lopez.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, he big. And
Splash,
he
Splash Mountain don't be doing a lot except for sidestep threes nowadays. But go on.
But all I was saying is just it's been really impressive because maybe I'm just a pessimist about the Bucks or just jealous because my team isn't winning.
I am. I'm both those things.
I'm really jealous. But it's the shooting seems to be sustainable. AJ Green has shown no sign of slowing down. He's shooting.
Oh, he looks like Larry Bird.
46.9%.
Yeah, he looks great.
He's been able to start and not been a black hole on defense.
Absolutely.
Which is, if you can shoot and you can hold your own on defense, hey, get your butt next to Giannis. I'm gonna need you in that corner.
That's what's called 3-and-D.
Yeah, and it's been impressive. And Giannis is back in that role. And we were talking about trade talks before the season.
Yep.
Now go and talk to him about going to New York.
Yeah, you don't want to.
Heck no.
Heck no.
Also, little side point, that was a little corny. It was corny, but did you see that Miles Turner pregame kind of thing before he played the Pacers?
No. Oh, yeah, he was talking about getting disrespected by the fans, right?
No, well, they announced his name in Indiana, and everybody booed him.
Yeah.
And while they were booing him, the camera pans to him on the bench, and he kind of, with his hands, makes a book gesture and then closes that book.
Ooh,
and then kind of like does
corny.
Like a little mimic with his eyes and the head. He got clowned on Twitter so hard.
That's kind of, I mean, I have to see it again.
I'm going to show you at break. I'm going to show you at break.
But. It sounds hard, but also, yeah, yeah.
But then Giannis gamed the Pacers, like at the buzzer in Indiana.
That was a beautiful looking fadeaway too.
Yeah.
But what I want to say quickly so we can not just glaze the Bucks and actually be a little more analytical
for sure,
is that Giannis is bought. No. I hate to give Doc Rivers credit.
Do it, though.
But we've seen time and time again in Doc Rivers' career, he is an amazing floor raiser.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why he is looked at as an acclaimed coach obviously comes from him winning in 08 with the Celtics. However, Phil Jackson famously said, this guy has lost more four quarters than any other player or any player. Well, I guess he was a player, but coach because he doesn't make adjustments.
Yeah.
However, it doesn't matter when you're with a new team and you're starting fresh and you have a bunch of young guys and you're allowed to make mistakes and new decisions. When he started his career with the Orlando Magic, everyone thought that team was going to be terrible. I think they ended up at either the ninth or just barely missing the playoffs, and he won Coach of the Year because they thought that team was going to be so terrible that they would miss everything. I mean, now we're looking at this again, right? Yeah. We're looking at this again to shout out old Doc Rivers is that he has raised the floor. All of us sat here and went, wow, this team's going to suck. And guess what? They didn't suck.
Or like be mid.
Exactly. Like, they look great. They genuinely look great. They look confident. It's a bunch of young guys. Even at the very start of the season with Kevin Porter Jr. and all this thing where we're all worried, they look great.
But for me, the doubt about still having self-creation in that offense.
100%.
Because you know how NBA basketball goes. You can run this regular season in that style of play, with having a run-and-gun offense and, you know, Giannis being in the open floor and finding the open man and living and dying by the three. When it gets down to it in the playoffs, you're going to need more self-creation next to Giannis.
Oh, I'm looking at regular season.
No, for sure. Like, I'm just saying.
If we're talking about a Doc Rivers team, the playoffs are an enigma, right?
Yeah,
like,
but
they don't exist.
Even further from that, I mean, is Ryan Rollins' self-creation, because it's been really impressive, his self-creation, off the bounce?
And it's the mid-range. It's that, us talking about mid-range, right?
It's been impressive, but is it sustainable for somebody who's just now coming into this role and now really settling in into the starter role? And then when Kevin Porter Jr. comes back, you're going to have some tough decisions to make with minutes, because he was the starter, right? And Cole Anthony, I know you have your opinions about Cole Anthony, but he's been playing well.
Yeah, and
he torched your Raptors.
Yes, yes.
He did that.
And not that I dislike Cole Anthony, even though his Timberlands
Believe that.
Dunk was interesting. But He's not a bad player. And what I wanted to say, actually, is that Cole Anthony has been very impressive.
Yes.
I'm not Skip Bayless with LeBron. I can give credit where credit
is
due.
This is what Death of the Mid-Range
is all about.
But
anyways, let's be negative for a second. Well, not even negative.
Critical.
It's
critical.
Critical is a better way of putting it.
Orlando Magic. Orlando Magic. I shouldn't be singing this happy song.
Y'all
by the way,
suck.
This is not going to be a happy segment.
Y'all suck.
Harsh words, Maximilian. Harsh words.
Okay, wait. Hold on. Can I just rewind like 2 seconds?
Yeah, go ahead.
Before you... Well, actually, during your singing, what I heard in your voice was back to our predictions episode.
No, don't let him know. Don't let him
and
know.
You put Paolo Banchero in your MVP top three.
It's not insane. You know what? I'm gonna be stubborn and say that it ain't over. It ain't over till the fat lady sings. Everybody knows that. Everybody
so
knows that.
So many tears I cry.
Sorry, this is not a sing.
So much pain inside.
Ooh, that sounds good though.
It ain't over till it's over.
Man,
I'm actually Lenny Kravitz.
But that was that was legit impressive. But the thing is that hurts me the most. Maybe it's my ego coming into play. Is that we sat here and talked about the Magic
for so long
and said that the Magic were going to be so good. And we kind of just bought into the idea that Bane
would just
equals
work.
Success and offense that works. Hasn't worked.
And I think what's important to talk about when we're talking about this as a prediction, on paper, they look fantastic.
On paper.
Like, still on paper, if I looked at this team and I didn't see what they were doing, I would be very impressed with this roster construction. What our fears were, though, and I will bring this back up, is if you hear me talk in that episode when we talked about our predictions for the NBA East, we talked about Orlando Magic at the third seed.
Yeah. God, don't say it too loud. Don't say that too loud.
What I will say is that I said my only fear is that they need to not be the early 2020 Boston Celtics,
yeah,
where you're looking at Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and you're going, how do I make these two work without going my turn, your turn?
Yeah.
It's my turn, your turn. It's my turn, your turn.
My turn, because there's a third one.
My turn, my turn, my turn.
My turn, my turn, my turn, my turn.
And you texted me last night. You said that those three are averaging less than 3 assists a game?
It wasn't last night. It was last week. I texted you that because I just maybe I don't want to be fact checked. Maybe this has changed. But last week when they played the Wizards, and you were really adamant about stagnant offense,
yes,
when we talked about it before the season even started.
Yeah,
and that stagnant offense has remained really true.
Mm-hmm.
They're the worst passing team in the NBA, meaning they get the least assist for points scored.
And that's an insane statistic.
When I looked at their quote-unquote big three, none of them were averaging even 3 assists. I was rounding up. Like, it was like 2.5, 2.6, which brings me to my main point, which is linked to your point about early Celtics, you know, the early Celtics core. When you look at the NBA franchise player nowadays in the modern NBA, he's able to do more than one thing.
Yes. Right?
Almost every top franchise player is a good playmaker.
All of them.
You want to talk about Anthony Edwards, who's known for scoring, has learned how to be a playmaker. Jason Tatum, who's known for scoring,
a fantastic playmaker.
You have to be. And when you watch the team, none of the three are being playmakers. And the burden has kind of fell on Paolo Banchero, who's a good passer, but hasn't gotten in the mind of being a playmaker. And as we talked about, he hasn't figured out if he wants to be LeBron or Carmelo Anthony. He wants to live in that mid-range while being one of the most inefficient mid-range takers in the world.
This is the NBA radio show who's called Death of the Mid-Range because we love our mid-range.
Stop it, Paolo.
Paolo, stop shooting.
Get behind the line, bro. Get behind the line, man.
Like, what? Like, you are 6'9".
6'10", bro.
He is...
just like me, bro. Like, get in the paint, bro. Get
like,
in the
exactly,
paint,
bro. As a 6'10 athlete... You have no. At a 5'10 athlete,
yeah,
you have to get in the paint.
You do,
right? And Paolo, like you're saying, Giannis's body, right? Paolo's body. This guy was built to be like a bully in the '90s.
Yeah,
built for it, right? Like, this guy can bully anybody out of their spot and push anybody out of the post.
Same.
Have his agility, his footwork is great. Paolo, you are not Carmelo Anthony. But, hey, prove me wrong, right? Like, I want you to prove me wrong, but so far, this is the third season where we're watching you shoot, contested, hezzy pull-up, whatever it is, mid-range shot, and it clanks off the rim. And I get that this team needs more shooting, but you shooting the most inefficient shot, granted the most beautiful shot in basketball, is not helping your team. And it creates a stagnant offense. Because once the ball goes into Paolo's hand,
sticks.
Stop. Right? The game stops. Maybe you kick it out to Franz Wagner, who's on the perimeter.
Who's shooting, to be fair, one of the bright spots. He's getting rid of that, you know, we talked about it before the season, that hitch he had in his shot.
Yes.
This was really hindering the way
he
was.
It does look a lot more smooth.
And his movement off the ball when he catches it and then rises up for the shot has looked so much smoother. Mm-hmm. So much smoother. But, I mean, I agree. And at the end of the day, I think it's about want to.
It's not just Paolo.
No, but it's also about Paolo's want to get to the rim.
Yes.
You think Giannis wants to go down there and get a foul call one out of four times and get hit and get hit and get hit? No, but it's the best thing to do when you're built like this.
It's the most efficient thing.
You have to.
We're talking about it. We're talking about efficiency. We're talking about efficiency, right? And especially for a team that is incredibly inefficient, incredibly stagnant, which is the issue that they've had for years now. Well, years being whenever Paolo's been good and clearly showing that he can lead this franchise. So probably 2 years. This is our third year going on that.
He's also 22, by the way.
Yeah,
we're talking about that, but he's 22.
But what I'm really trying to say is, like, they're having another Tyus Jones experience where a team gets Tyus Jones and goes, well, the numbers with the assist-to-turnover ratio is fantastic. However, they refuse to run the offense through the guy that has the assist-to-turnover ratio, the best one in the league. Mm-hmm. So I get that Paolo wants the ball and he wants to solo, but we need to start running plays, man. We need to start running actions. We need to start running more pick and rolls. Like, we need to just do something with this great playmaking talent that you've acquired, and you need to start passing the ball.
But at what point do we... Because, you know, Desmond Bane, obviously, like, everybody knows he's been struggling. He's only averaging 14 points. He's not even shooting 40% from the field.
But this is the same thing that happened to KCP.
No, for sure, that's a given. But at what point do we turn and look at Jamal Mosley?
That's the other thing, too, where then you start... Thank you for mind-melding moment. That's when you start looking and saying, okay, this is a coaching problem. And granted, he won Coach of the Year with a gritty defensive... paint-oriented team, right?
But look at Tom Thibodeau. Sometimes that transition to actually getting actual offensive talent, you're like, well, I've only struggled my whole coaching career.
Exactly.
What do I do now?
Exactly.
So maybe it is that.
Hey, man, the NBA is full of coaches of the years that get fired, right?
And talk to Mike Brown.
Talk to...
Dwayne Casey.
Thank you. But really what I think it is you need to start figuring out how do I... find someone to run my offense efficiently through. I think your answer, not fully your answer, but start trusting Tyus Jones more, and you have nothing to lose at this point.
It could also be Bankero, but with just better usage and operating in better spots.
If Bankero starts to get closer to the paint, right, and Franz Wagner gets closer to the paint, and the defense starts going closer to the paint, guess what happens to the three?
Yeah.
Kick out, bang. We've seen Desmond Bane be a 40% shooter from three
off
his
the
whole
catch
career.
And off the bounce.
Everything, yeah. Right? Yeah, right? Start, like, so then maybe this is coach, this is star, and this is not understanding the talent that you have.
But also, guess what? Why are we rushing him?
Yeah,
honestly, like, truthfully.
Well,
this team's age is not the problem.
Yes.
Paolo doesn't turn 23 until next year, I believe. So it's like... honestly, they still have time to figure it out.
No, and I think that's completely fair. Yeah. It's just to be cynical because I think we're watching a stagnant offense happen again after being really excited that they weren't going to have a stagnant offense again.
It's still ugly. You texted me yesterday. I'm telling you, we talked about the most unwatchable teams, and it's been so hard to watch the Magic like play.
Yeah.
And it hasn't changed. It's still the same thing. It's really hard to watch them play.
And they made the granted they played. Like not back to back, but they did play the Boston Celtics twice.
Yeah,
they went 1-1. Boston 1-1. The Magic won one. I want to give a really quick shout out. Blazers legend, Anfernee Simons.
You called him a Blazer. All right, we're going to shut down the show. Hey, shut down everything, bro. Turn off the lights.
8 minutes, 23 points. My God.
He's good.
Five of six from three. That man's base, like the base of his shot, looks very, very similar to Damian Lillard.
That's what they say.
Very, very similar. That's what they say?
That's what they say. That's what they say. That's what they say.
But what I'm saying is that, like, shout out. We will talk about the Boston Celtics and the Pacers after we go to ad break right now.
Your favorite part?
My ad break's my favorite part. But what I was going to say is that just, yeah, I think the Magic can be better. But also, time heals all wounds. And like we said with the Memphis Grizzlies, winning heals. Once they figure out how to win, I think we're going to be okay. Right?
Yes, sir.
Anyways, ad break.
All right. Don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere.
The Montreal International Documentary Festival. Bold films that redefine documentary cinema and reframe how we see the world. Featuring screenings, concerts, discussions with filmmakers, and celebrations that carry the experience into the night. RIDM, November 20th to 30th in Montreal. Info and tickets at ridm.ca.
The Groove Masters Hour on CJLO 1690 on your AM dial. Every Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. The Groove on your way home. 514-848-7471. Give us a call.
Excuse me. Is that your real voice?
Welcome back to Death of the Midrange on CJLO 1690 AM Montreal.
And I thought Halloween was last week. Obviously, it's still a big factor in Max's life.
I love Halloween.
Man, I love Halloween too, bro. You know who else
loves Halloween?
Who?
LeBron James.
Who we're not going to talk about, actually, who hasn't even been on the court. I can't wait for him to get on the court, though. It's going to be a LeBron James only radio show.
Podcast. We're gonna have an episode called My Sunshine.
Yeah,
just straight
La Pookie.
Yeah. Anyways,
talking about scary things. Celtics and Pacers, man.
I think both of us sat here. I had the Celtics. They were in the bottom 12 of the East for me.
You didn't have them making the playoffs,
no,
right?
I didn't have them in the play-in.
I think I had them in ninth.
And I think both of us sat here and we went, oh, Joe Mazzulla, this team. And that's like, that was a really big factor for me saying, like, Joe Mazzulla is a psychopath, superhero. Like, he will be able to avenge this team from the ground. And granted, he's done a great job.
He has. No,
with
he
limited
has.
Assets.
100%.
Right?
100%.
Derek White is clearly struggling with efficiency.
Struggling.
Like, he's still putting up good. I think he's still averaging 20 points. But
I think, like, he's hovering right under, I think.
Yeah, but it's on, like, Fred VanVleet 38% numbers.
Payne Pritchard has looked really good as a starter, too.
He has. I think all of us have known that Payton Pritchard can be a starting guard in this league.
That's a hard transition, though. Like, from six-man to starting guard, especially as a small guard.
But knowing that Joe Mazzulla, Boston Celtics, Payton Pritchard, like, the mentality's there. Not to, like, dismiss your point. I'm just I think, I don't know. I feel like this, for me, a little part of the course. Like, I wasn't really high on the Celtics, and nor am I really worried. Like, everything's still there. All the pieces are in place for them to rebuild and have a better roster next year when Jason Tatum comes back healthier.
Hopefully.
Jaylen Brown has to fix his hair. But other than that...
Oh, yeah, by the way, I called you out because I thought that wasn't true. And then they played the Wizards.
Happened three times.
He literally got Keyshawn George in the most obvious manner I've ever seen in my life. Even the Celtics broadcast, which I hate, and I know hate is a strong word, but I dislike them so much, we're even clowning him for that.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And I need that spray, bro. Where you get that spray, bro? That looked good.
What was so funny is he went on stream and went, guys, they got me. They got me, bro. And then proceeded to do it again.
Yeah, and call LeBron too.
Anyways.
But the only thing I'll disagree with is I don't think the Celtics quite have the pieces where Jason Tatum can come back into this team and seamlessly just like...
No, that's what I mean, rebuild. Contending again. They need to grab more pieces. They need a center.
But
like, more than anything, they need a competent...
Well, Kata has looked good.
Yeah, but...
Kata has looked good.
But I know it's a big expectation. A championship team or the championship expectation. But that's where we put these guys. Like, I don't think I think Kata comes great off the bench. I do not think that he will be the starter. And I don't think he has the decision making to be that starter.
Yeah.
It
also depends what offense you're going to run.
Yeah, exactly. Right? But the thing is, it's like, I think Boston's going to be fine. And if Boston's bad, I'm pretty happy.
I actually disagree. Because I don't think they're going to be fine. Because they lost so much of that. I don't know, so many players. You know, Jrue Holiday, Kristaps Porzingis, Luke Kornet, Al Horford. Those were fundamental guys inside that locker room and on that roster.
Luke Kornet was the biggest loss there. All those other guys are old and injury prone. Like, I agree. However, when your star busts Achilles.
Yeah.
Did you really want to see, like... Jrue Holiday get old. Like, I love Jrue Holiday.
No, they very couldn't. Big, second April, right? Anyways. They couldn't.
Exactly.
Keep
and Al Horford and like Kristaps Porzingis is the same thing with Robert Williams. Almost
Robert Williams.
Time Lord himself.
Good.
Right?
God.
When you have him on the floor, you are like the defense, like the things that we can create. Kristaps Porzingis didn't come until the finals.
Yeah.
Right?
Even then, he was like.
But, I mean, granted, he started off with 5 blocks in that finals when they won. Right? I don't want that question mark as a franchise. Like, I don't need that question mark as a franchise. The only reason it worked with the Celtics is because that team was great.
All right, can I ask you a question then?
Yes.
If Jason Tatum is healthy on that roster, do they make the playoffs?
Yeah, but they make it at, like, the 6th seed. And then they go out in either they upset the first round or they go out in the first round. And, like,
yeah.
I think they could win a 7-game series against the 3rd seed.
But, I mean...
But, like, I, what I'm saying is that you have space, you have room, you've cleared your roster. Next year, if you want to rebuild, people want to come to Boston. People want to play with Joe Mazzulla. People want to play with Jason Tatum.
They have no cap space, though.
That's another issue. But what I'm saying is that Maybe I'm being pessimistic. Maybe I don't care because they just won a championship and I don't really feel bad. But you know what? Like, you have many years of Jason Tatum. You have many years of Jaylen Brown. You still have Derek White. You still have Peyton Pritchard. Like, they're going to be all right.
What I will say about Joe Mazzulla, what I've really appreciated is that he's really leaned in into development.
Given that thing with the practice, he's like... Derek White walks into practice and Joe Mazzulla's like, put on the music. And it's just machine gun noises for 10 minutes. Like,
when we say he's a psycho, he really is a psycho.
Psychopath.
But he's given a chance to Luka Garza, who's been trying to find his footing in the league. Hasn't looked amazing,
but
still, you know, trying stuff out. Hugo Gonzalez, the rookie out of Spain that he drafted, giving him spot minutes has been really important. And he looks like a psycho on defense, which is pretty good. And then Sam Hauser, Baylor Shireman, the dude they drafted last year. Who hasn't really shown anything, but still, I mean, still, I feel like
Tillman's been eyed too.
Yeah, but I think it's good to see that everybody's understood that this is a gap year. They're just trying to find pieces. They find Josh Minot, who's been really, really good starting for them.
Yes,
might stick around next year, and now you got a cheap, you know, bench player who can really fit into that culture. But
yeah,
we'll see. I think
for this season, I don't think they're making the play in the playoffs. I think they're bottom,
and I think that's okay. Just like because we want to talk about the Pacers as well. I think it's similar things with the Pacers as well, and then it's
Should
okay.
We transition?
Yeah, and I think it's okay for the Celtics to be this way this year, and then we'll have to reevaluate next year.
Yeah, and I think that's why, like, both the Pacers and the Celtics are literally in the exact same boat where their stars have torn their Achilles, and both of them look very good on the comeback. Like, I saw a
Pacers
video.
Better though, don't because they kept
no.
Whole
I mean
court.
I mean as the like the athletes themselves.
Yeah,
like. Jason Tatum and Tyrese Halliburton look like they look healthy and they look good, and both of them are dunking, which is crazy to say. But I think the Pacers they're what, 1-8 right now?
Just like the Wizards.
Just shout out.
If I haven't mentioned them enough today, guys.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? Let's just talk about the Wizards. No.
Yeah,
you know,
we'll do another hour segment on the Wizards. Stick around, guys.
Okay, I'm sorry. We're going overtime. We're just going to talk about the Wizards for an hour. No, but what I want to say is that I think that the Pacers will be okay. They started off the season with two injuries.
Yeah.
Andrew Nembhard going out. We all expected to, well, I expected to be the most improved player of the year.
Yeah, which is not crazy.
And I still think he can do that.
Still early in the season.
Yeah, and I think they will come around. They have to get used to not having Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah.
And I also think they played some tough teams, right? So I hey man, let's let them play the Raptors and Wizards for like a week and watch them come back.
Well,
right.
Maybe the Raptors, but not the other team you mentioned. But no, I think for me, I'm much more hopeful about the Pacers.
Absolutely. They'll be topping still out, too.
No, but they're young and they've had so many injuries, and the vibes have looked really good because I think they know they've kept that core and they can keep that core for a couple more years.
That's what both you and I were talking about, where it's like win or lose, I'm still like, damn, the Pacers look good.
And yeah, and Halliburton will come back. I think this is a legitimate gap year, whereas with the Celtics, I'm more worried about their
future. Yeah, because they gutted and their contracts are still high.
The Pacers didn't do that. They didn't have to compromise. They just brought that whole roster back, and then Halliburton can seamlessly fit back in into the same team that he left.
Yeah, and I think they just have to realize that, hey, guys, we have this amazing scorer in Pascal Siakam, but we're on a gap here. Let's start getting everyone else going.
Same.
Like, we know that Pascal Siakam, well, I know that Pascal Siakam Spicy can be a 25 points per game scorer. He can not be like the most amazing number one option, especially because he's gotten older now, but he can be that number one option and he can get you points and he can get you through this time that you're in right now. However, let's see Andrew Nembhard go up. Let's see Aaron Nesmith develop more self-creation.
Isaiah Jackson has looked really, really good
at
the center spot.
Isaiah Jackson. Let's get more minutes with Jay Huff where he can actually be good instead of being a little disappointing as he's been recently.
My MIP?
Yeah, which I still don't think is crazy. I like, on paper, it still makes sense. And in my heart of hearts, it still makes sense. But yeah, no, I think, yeah, very different from, not very different, but different from the Celtics. Yeah. I'm definitely more excited about the Pacers.
Sure.
And maybe I'm cynical because I'm okay with the Celtics being bad because I know that they're such a multi-billion dollar franchise that they'll just buy a bunch of new contracts and get more guys because people always want to come to Boston and Boston has won the most championships in NBA history. So, you know what? Let them lose for
They'll
a little
be while. All right.
I'll let you talk
about Derek Queen.
I want to say, firstly, something going on in the swamp, man. Because the Celtics.
Let's go with that. The Celtics?
The Pelicans suck. And I apologize once again.
For using
once
that
again.
Word.
That I talked so good about the Portland Trailblazers and I neglected to put them as making the play-in.
As you remember, he had them as the 10th seed, ladies and gentlemen.
I had the Pelicans at the 10th seed, which was the dumbest move I think I've ever made in my entire life.
Yeah.
I've made a lot of regrettable decisions in my life. That one was probably the... Okay, let's come back. That was probably number one.
Yeah.
Is the Pelicans look terrible.
Yeah.
However,
the only little bright spot I wanted to highlight from this past week has been Darren Queen, University of Maryland's finest. You know, 301. But yeah, Derek Queen, drafted by the Pelicans, has been hated by the media because they traded a future first for him. Didn't play well in summer league, got injured, didn't play preseason, didn't go through training camp. Comes back to this Pelicans team. They don't play him. DNPs after DNPs. And he's had four performances in a row, averaging like 12, 7, and 7. And he has been
damn
so impressive. He has that it factor. I'm telling you, this week, if you want to watch basketball, please watch the Pelicans. I know. Sounds like a crazy sell. I understand. Yep. But Derek Queen has been playing, and I say this, take it with a grain of salt, that Jokic-esque kind of gravity where, like, he can handle the ball. He has more scoring punch at the rim than Jokic in a way which is different. I can't believe I'm even saying this, but...
Let's put him in the Josh Giddey category, okay?
Oh, no. Hell, I won't do that. Heck no. I want to put him in the big man that knows his role, knows he has a lot of gravity around him, and knows how to pass the heck out of the ball, and... I have been so impressed by Darren Queen, and I'm so happy he's been able to run the small ball five for them. But yeah, That's guys, all I had to say.
As we said off here, just watch basketball.
Yeah. See you next week. Peace.
See you next week. We'll be talking about the Cavaliers and I don't know, whatever we want to talk about. Let's talk about the Raptors and the Wizards.
Have an
Let's
amazing.
Talk more about the Wizards. Wizards.
Please.
Wizards.
Wizards. Wizards. Wizards. Wizards. 6:30. Yeah, no one knows you.